Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Now, you know those type of people who've seen everything on the internet? Those who say, I've seen it before you've even finished your sentence about it? Well, we're talking about those who are always ahead of the curve, the trendsetters, those who thrive on being the first with everything, always a few steps ahead of others in terms of news or gossip or music or fashion, fads, films, technology, everything. You know the types. You mention something, they tell you all about it and they've seen it already and you think you've just heard of it. It's just straight out of the box. Well, Claire Cullen, social media editor with independent.ie, joins me to take a look at different types of trendsetters and whether it's best to lead or to follow. Claire, good morning.
How are you?
Great form. How are you keeping?
I'm good.
Long time no see. But listen, you are all over this. Did you have a great bank holiday weekend, Easter?
Oh, I did. Yeah, it was lovely. Yeah. Lots of chocolate.
Can you believe listen, it's just been, the weather is fantastic. Everyone's in great form. We're heading into a short week as well. Sure, it's a win-win. But Claire, do you know what? I'm dying to talk to you about this because we all know those people. Like you mentioned, whether it's a TV show you've just heard of or you're just gotten into and you mention it to someone else, someone you know has their finger on the pulse and they've already seen the full box set. So there's big advantages to that, but there's big disadvantages. But first of all, you've got your beta testers.
Yeah, so basically there are terms, like there are official terms for tech trendsetters. So, and I think that they can actually apply to pretty much every trendsetter out there. So, first of all, you've got your beta testers. And in tech, what they would be is they'd be the people to sign up and test a brand new product and essentially break it. That's what they want. They want these beta testers to break the product and see what the problems is. So these are the very, very, very first people in line before there's any press or anything about it. And that kind of comes through then in fashion. It'll be someone that's maybe willing to experiment with what they believe are next season's looks. And then in social media, the kind of beta testers would be the people who go, have you seen this amazing new app? Like, absolutely nobody's using it yet, but we should totally be on it.
But how do they find them? Who are those people?
I honestly, they're just sort of real plugged in to sort of everything that's going on. So, I mean, I imagine one thing they definitely have is Google alerts about new apps, for example. You know, I know a lot of social media people, that's how they would kind of keep an eye on Twitter, Facebook. They would follow all of these different, like, really obscure tech blogs and have all these sort of Google alerts about new apps and things like that. And then the second phase of trendsetter is called an early adopter. So these are the kind of, they follow up the beta testers in that it's after the product goes out for mass release, but they're the first people to pick it up. So these would actually be the majority of trendsetters in terms of maybe, you know, social media, because you obviously have to hear of something, you see it on BuzzFeed or something, or even, an obscure tech blog before you sign up to it. So these would be the majority of trendsetters. Social media would be what we call early adopters. And then these would also, say in fashion, these would be the people who, again, are quite early on the train, but they didn't make the leap before they knew what they were getting into.
Okay.
That's kind of key. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like that. So they play it a little bit more safe, maybe.
Yes. Well, they'll be the first to wear it or use it or talk about something at the very start of it being a thing. But, you know, they didn't jump into it completely blind. I would consider myself, for example, an early adopter when it comes to, like, apps and social media. I wouldn't go as far as beta testing things. But then the late adopters is kind of everyone else. Essentially, they follow the trendsetters. And I'll touch on this later, but Mary McCallaghan, for example, would be an early adopter, I'd argue.
Okay. Yeah. Explain.
I would kind of consider Miriam like an unlikely trendsetter in a way. So some of the ladies at RTE, for example, they're setting trends because they're going on telly wearing these things and then people are tweeting about them. So Miriam, for example, wore that choker on television and there was hundreds of tweets. And a lot of them were actually making fun of her. And then there was a lot of articles about the tweets. But that actually totally kicked it all off. And then lots of people started tweeting about how great she looked. And I actually went on eBay and bought a choker after I saw her wear it because I had been thinking about it for ages. I'm a very late adopter when it comes to fashion. So I'd been thinking about it for ages, but I wasn't quite ready. I was like, I'm not sure it's quite mainstream enough. And then I saw Miriam wear one and I was like, well, if Miriam can pull it off, I can definitely pull it off.
Well, first of all, Claire, I like your honesty saying that you straight away went to eBay and got one afterwards. But also Miriam handled that really well. She straight away went and spoke in the media about it and said, you know, choker gate or whatever you will, and said, yeah, you know what, I'm great. Getting a lot of great support. She said, I loved the trend when it was big in the 90s and I'm bringing it back, or it's back now.
Oh, she's great.
And
she's great, yeah.
She's getting a lot of support on it. And so it's interesting. So it works. But what are the advantages of being a trendsetter?
Well, the advantages of being like a trendsetter personally are probably mostly that people call you a trendsetter.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you know, a compliment or whatever. The pros of being a trendsetter, say from a marketing company's perspective, is that the purchasing power behind trendsetters is in some cases immeasurable. So for example, Zuella is a hugely popular YouTube vlogger. And she's got 8 million subscribers and she does beauty tutorials, and anything she talks about in a video sells out.
I've seen her. It's brilliant. But it's so simple, yeah, the way she does it. It's so simple.
Exactly. It's so simple. And all she has to do is talk about something and she enjoyed this product and it's off the shelves. And for her benefit, out of that sort of massive power that she has, all these companies are begging to work with her. People, you know, have offered her clothing lines, beauty lines, and publishers came to her and offered her the opportunity to write a book. So I suppose being a trendsetter, one of the pros is that people are dying to work with you.
And exactly, and it goes right across. Throwing work at you. It goes right across the board, because even in film, I saw the other day, Abigail Breslin, do you remember her from Little Miss Sunshine? She's only 18 and she's writing her autobiography. She got a book off her already. So there are a lot of advantages, but what about the cons? What about the negative side?
I think there's kind of a few cons in this. So in tech, for example, you get the unfinished product because you're first in line to get it. So it's going to have bugs, there's going to be problems, it's going to be a pain. So, you know, you're the first there, but sometimes it's not best to be the first there. In fashion, you could end up, say, for example, learned this one the hard way, we could end up with a terrible haircut. It doesn't suit you because you didn't see anyone else with your face shape. See if it suited you.
Yeah, if we've all been there. Have you done it, Claire? You sound like you're...
Oh, I have, yeah. Yeah, I went for the, like, real pixie cut, and then, wow, it took a long time to grow that nightmare out. And then in social media, and I suffer from this quite a lot, you can be a little bit insufferable. So my friends are like, oh, my God, did you see this? And I'm like, yep, seen it. And then I'm like, well, did you see? And it's quite hard, because a lot of our conversation these days revolves around things you've seen on Twitter or YouTube, and if you're kind of a little bit of an insufferable know-it-all, it sort of impacts your social life a little bit.
Yeah, because your friends are going, listen, if you say one more time, because they want to get into a chat about it, but you've been there, you've done it. You know those websites where they say you can take your picture, put it in, and see if the hairstyle suits you? But the reality, I don't think they work.
Oh, God, no. No, I've tried those as well. They don't really give a full effect.
So explain that. So have your friends at any stage turned around to you and said, Claire, we know you've seen and you know everything. We're not even talking to you about this one.
No, they haven't really said it sort of as bluntly as that. But there's kind of like, I've experienced one or two rolled eyes sometimes. And I can feel, you know, sometimes when you're talking, you're like, okay, now I'm talking too much. Now I've talked too much about this. I need to change the subject. Because you can kind of feel the room get a bit tired.
Yeah. And also there's that feeling as well with other people that, you know, that whole idea of they may feel that they're being left behind, you know, because it is hard to keep up with every single big trend and every single major area of your life, from fashion.
Yeah, and it does take up a lot of your time, like, you know what I mean? So, I mean, people ask me all the time, they're like, how do you stay on top of everything and how do you stay so connected to what's happening? And I actually can't even answer them because it's just so second nature at this stage, and it's most of my day.
Are you constantly on the phone, Claire? Do you constantly have your phone? If you've a spare minute...
Yeah, I'm addicted. That's another problem. I'm absolutely addicted to my phone, and I have had friends, you know, at dinner be like, right, everyone or just Claire actually, put her phone in the middle, and if Claire touches it, Claire has to pay, because they're nowhere near as bad as me.
I like their honesty. Everyone, no, just Claire, put your phone in the middle of the table. But what about fashion? I mean, are you, as well as technology, do you have your finger on the pulse there as well all the time?
I wouldn't quite so much now. I'd consider myself a bit of a late adopter in terms of fashion, just because, mainly because what I do is I wait until it's out of fashion and then it's on sale.
I like your style. Yes, that would kind of suit me, my pocket too.
But there's some, I think as well, I find anyway, there's a lot of YouTubers that I watch, for example, that I would love their fashion and I would love to copy them, but I just feel like maybe the streets of Ireland are not ready yet.
Because it's too wild. Their taste is just really adventurous.
Yeah, especially social media trendsetters, they tend to err on the quirky side of fashion. And there's just some stuff that I've bought it, and a lot of it is merch actually from these YouTubers, and they're like real inside internet references and quotes and things on your t-shirt, and people are like, "What's that about?"
So tell us about.
And then you kind of have to explain it.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not working. But Claire, tell us about some of your, let's say, the YouTube trendsetters maybe that we should be looking up or keeping an eye on that you watch a lot.
Yeah, so I mean, Zoella is the obvious choice. I quite like a girl called Kea Lilly. Now, she goes by Toxic Tears on YouTube, and she's actually Irish. She's been on YouTube less than a year, but she's already got over 100,000 subscribers.
Wow.
She's got a gothic fashion, and this is why I think that she's quite a trendsetter, because I think that is going to come back in, the whole goth thing. I remember it was very big when I was a teenager. And she's really into that alternative fashion, and she's got a lot of followers who are also into that. So I think that she's definitely going to be kind of one to watch in terms of the fashion thing. So she looks fantastic. She's got black hair, you know, the brightly coloured contact lenses. She looks great, yeah. So I definitely keep an eye on her. I'm a big fan of Vogue Williams. She has a blog, and I mostly follow her on Instagram. But she's quite fashion forward in that she'll kind of get a dress before everyone else. And I noticed then a lot of people wearing it after she's worn it. So she wore this gorgeous dress, and then Pip O'Connor wore the same one a couple of weeks later. So I'd kind of consider her one of the, and I suppose she's more close to my age. That's probably why I like her so much in terms of fashion.
Yeah, and it has to be affordable as well. I mean, did you see her with the crop top and the fitted skirt, the matching outfit?
Yes, she's very good actually, because her Instagram, you know, she details where she got the things, and a lot of it is like Topshop.
Lovely.
So it's great. Rick O'Shea as well, I think, is one of the trendsetters in social media. So he was one of the first people that I saw at all to have Snapchat, and especially the first public figure to have Snapchat. So he's quite good, I think. I like to follow what he's doing on social media.
Me too. I think he'll be delighted with that as well. So who else then?
Well, Jerry McBride as well, I'm a big fan of his. He's probably not really so much a trendsetter, but he's the guy behind Waterford Whispers, and he's very, very, very funny on Twitter. And he's very on the pulse of what's happening in terms of trends. While I probably wouldn't copy his fashion sense, it's good to keep up with him, because he's such an interesting take and very quickly on the new trends.
That's really good. You've a really good mix of people in there as well. What about the technology end? Who do you kind of look at there?
Well, I'll have to give a shout out here now to Adrian Wechler, of course. He is very good. Like, I do see him around the office in here, and he always has a gadget in his hand or something new, and he's always like, "Have you heard about this?" I'm like, "No."
See, I thought you were going to say he's sitting beside you there, Claire, because obviously you work together.
Yeah. He's not beside me right this minute. He's probably off testing something.
Some amazing new gadget that we're all going to be using or wearing in a year. But you've had some very good news recently yourself.
Oh, I have, yes. Blush. So I have a YouTube channel in my spare time, and I got signed by an American network.
Brilliant.
Digital Studios, yeah. So it's very exciting. So basically, they're a studio that kind of keeps a smaller roster of creators, so it's a little bit of a more exciting thing to get on their roster. They only manage just over 900 creators, whereas my previous network would have managed like 10,000 or more. So they take a real hands-on approach, and they reach out and get you in touch with, say, brands and things that want to work with you directly. And it's a real, really cool thing, and hopefully it means bigger and better things for all involved.
So Claire, tell us, how does that work? So you have your YouTube channel. These guys, how does it work? And how many hits does it take before they actually find you interesting?
It depends. So they got in touch with me, and I would be on YouTube 3 years, and I would be just over 45,000 subscribers, and I would be getting kind of maybe 300,000 monthly hits kind of on average. But then they've gotten in touch with other people who are smaller in terms of both time, both length on YouTube and amount of subscribers, but that kind of got a couple of viral hits. Do you know what I mean? So they basically, if they think that you've got a future on the platform, really, I don't really know how they actually quantify it. But then they get in touch with you, and when you sign with them, then they basically sort of manage, you own your content, but they manage it. So then they get in touch with people who might want you to hawk a product or like want to work with you. And then they try and get you opportunities outside YouTube. So they, a lot of their previous YouTube stars, they would have actually got them into movies.
Wow.
And books and things. Yeah. So that, and that's another benefit, I suppose, of being a trendsetter is that, as I said, you know, new opportunities get opened to you. So, well, yeah, very exciting.
Yeah, it is really, really, really exciting, Claire. Well, listen, thanks a million. And I'm still thinking about that I'm going to have to go on now and check you out on YouTube and see what the next stage is going to be, where your new agents are going to bring you to. Thanks a million. Yes. That's Claire Cullen, social media editor with independent.ie.